flight track.
Welcome to Infandelity with B and C. One day, a former jock, that's B, married a self-proclaimed nerd, that's C, and slowly she introduced him to the path of nerdom enlightenment. Here we will discuss pop culture media and fandoms that we share and some that we don't. It's all fun and games until your spouse finishes a show without you.
Welcome back. We're here, finally, after many a moons.
I didn't know what I wanted to say. I was trying to think
Are you going to say anything?
Yeah. What's cracking?
Yeah, we don't have our normal, you know, intro that we usually go through because we're working on a new device.
You did.
So we're just trying to get back into the groove of everything.
But... New year, new us. More money, more problems.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's get into this movie and TV news. You know, we're not gonna waste a lot of y'all's time.
Just a little bit. All a nigga really need is a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Are you gonna let me do the show?
Sorry, I don't know why I'm in a music bag today.
Right. This is your movie and TV show. The Golden Globes happened a couple weeks ago and on January 10th, and we're just gonna shout out some of the winners that we, you know, care about. So congratulations to Mother Angela Bassett. I believe she won Best Supporting Actress. Congratulations to Michelle Yeoh. She won Best Actress in a Drama for Everything Everywhere All at Once, which was my favorite movie of 2022. Shout out to Zendaya. She won Best Actress in a Drama Series. So it's a Zendaya sweep, pretty much. Because she won an Emmy, she won a Golden Globe, and she also won a Critics' Choice. So I was going to talk about that later or next. Kiwi Kwan, if that's how you pronounce his name, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it. He was the dad on Everything Everywhere All at Once. He won for supporting actor, so shout out to him. I feel like, oh, and then the Abbott Elementary, Quinta won, and Tyler James won, and Cheryl Lee Ralph won, I believe, as well.
You're not lying.
So shout out to all of them as well. It was a successful evening for the colors at the Golden Globe. So shout out to us. Critics' Choice Award. Again, I believe that Mother Angela Bassett won again for Best Supporting Actress for her role in Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. We can talk about it. And Zendaya also won Critics' Choice Award for Rutabaga. And who else won? I believe Cheryl won again. Kiwi Kwan won again. Michelle Yeoh won again. So, yeah, it's looking like, you know, the people who deserved are going to win.
And not in black news, but I heard Evan Peters won for Dahmer.
He did.
And I heard it was a little uproar, but a little, you know, some people have something to say about that.
Yeah,
and
his Dahmer's family members, which they have been adamant, they've been consistent since the show came out that they wasn't fucking with it. So,
that's the hard part, because it's like, granted, yeah, he played a horrible fucking person, but his goddamn betrayal was just... I mean, his acting was just...
Oh, yeah, because you watched it. Great. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I feel like, what's with Stacey Dash? I feel like she should have won something. She should have won something supporting.
Niecy Nash.
I'm hoping that Stacey Dash.
You did. I was like, what?
I didn't know something with an Ash. Niecy Nash. She definitely should have won something. Because her performance in that was brilliant. Just chef's kiss.
Yeah.
A fucking amazing.
Yeah. So I didn't watch that because that's too dark for me. But yeah, I believe that is it for movie and TV news. I can't think of any like drama that's really important that you would care about or even that I would care about. Seriously, WB is still a fucking mess.
The WB.
DC is still a mess.
Lame adding.
Because James Gunn is running it, which, like, I don't have two dogs in this fight about DC. The only thing on DC that I care about is Titans. And as long as that's coming out, that's fine with me.
Oh, I know. I'm glad you said that. Snowfall, the last season of Snowfall, is coming out this fucking year. It is due to drop season 6. February 22nd of this year. Mm-hmm. And again, this will be the final season. I'm not sure if they're going to do the whole shit where they split it up. You know, some seasons, some shows love splitting up a final season just to make it longer and drag it out. Or they may just go ahead and do all 10 episodes or however many episodes, run them back to back consistently, and that be it. Mm-hmm. So regardless of the fact, I do think it's kind of ran its course. I am going to be sad about this show leaving because this is a show that I've watched for a while. Kind of feels like Orange is the New Black. Sorry. Kind of feels like Orange is the New Black a little bit. It's just like, it was a show that I was watching that I was gung-ho about for a while. And after the season, it's just like, all right, y'all, like, you can tell this, you know, y'all going to start wrapping this up. And literally, like, that's kind of what this is now, too. Even though it's, to me, it's better than Orange is the New Black. It still brings me back, and I still want to know what's Franklin going to do and how they're going to get out of the shit that they're in or whatever. But I'm definitely excited to see this final season and see where the actors and actresses move on and go forward, because a lot of these people I've seen for the first time. So I'm interested to see where they branch off and go to, and, you know, what other projects they're going to start working on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I will be locked in for the final season. And I hate that you never got into it either, because it really was it's a really good show. And at this point, you're not going to go back and watch it, so there's no point.
Yeah, we're just going to have to take that L. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into our homework segment. So our homework segment is where we discuss weekly shows that we've been watching. It is similar to when you go to counseling and your counselor gives you homework and then you have to come back and discuss it. So we come back weekly and discuss the shows that we are watching. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we can start with The Best Man and then we'll get to the bigger elephant in the room. We started watching The Best Man Holiday. All the episodes are out, but...
Holiday?
Or shit, final chapter, sorry. and so far, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I mean, I haven't watched the Best Man franchise since the Best Man Holiday.
Okay.
I was kind of, you know, that movie was hella sad, so I didn't really want to go back and watch it.
Right.
So, yeah, I hadn't, you know, I hadn't seen these characters, and I kind of forgot all the dynamics, but I just still jumped into the show, and it's pretty good.
I'm not really a... Well, no, I'm sorry. I was about to say I'm not really a fan. I'm actually thoroughly enjoying the show. I wasn't a fan of the second one because, like, you know, how sad it was. And even though it was good, it was just, it's one of those that I don't feel inclined to go back and watch because it was so sad. So it's just like, if I'm going to watch any of them, I'm going to watch the first one because it's classic, it's nostalgic. It's the best one. Mm-hmm. But, and first of all, I did not know that this was a miniseries. Originally going into it, I thought this was going to be another movie. You know, like the final chapter. So like just the, like the last hoorah, these niggas getting back together on their bullshit. But when you start watching it, see it informed me that it was a miniseries. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's going to be, you know, that's a different approach to it. So yeah, so far it's been pretty good. I definitely enjoyed the first two episodes more than the others that I've seen. I think we're maybe...
Yeah, the beach resorts were really cool.
Yeah, and we, of course, you know, y'all know we love resorts, we love beaches and stuff like that, so we definitely
looked it up. It was just a good vibe.
Yeah, it seemed like a good vibe. So we definitely looked it up to see where they recorded that. It ended up being in the Dominican Republic. I believe
it
said.
Yeah, it was like a ambiguous Caribbean island. Like there were black people and Taino people and Jamaican sounding accents and Rasta shit, but also it, I don't know, but yeah, it where they ended up where they ended up at was in Puerto Rico or in Dominican Republic.
Yeah. So I definitely enjoyed those first two because I feel like it was just not more drama, but it was just funnier stuff that was going on. Like, you know, of course, her kind of crashing the wedding spot or whatever.
Yeah, that was so secondhand cringe.
Right. And
but just, she got her man, child.
Right. Just trying to get his attention and get her nigga. Of course, it was unveiled that they indeed had a love child.
That she, for some reason, didn't tell him about 15
years. Every man.
Yes.
Had like, his own special dream. It was literally that. Like, yes. Realization, boom, I have a whole fucking daughter I never knew.
And then they did this huge time jump. A huge time jump from.
I said, oh, when I watched it, that shit said 20 years. I said, oh, they poured a goddamn House of Dragons on us.
Yeah, they did a huge time jump.
They literally went 20 years on us.
And also, something that bothers me about the show is my mother, Regina Hall's wigs.
Yes, it's through.
I don't understand.
It,
just because she's the plant medicine lady don't mean she gotta be looking like that. That just, I don't understand.
Yeah, because they make, like, in a movie, like, she was, just, in the first one, she was just so sexy. I mean, like, even though she was a stripper and shit, but still, like, she had the long shit. She had the goddamn...
Okay, so maybe that's why they try to do this whole, like, oh, now she's a mom and all
they
this
made
stuff.
Her super goddamn...
Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange.
She has, like, a black soccer mom vibe.
So anyway, we're going to finish that. And yeah, if you want something that's kind of lighthearted a little bit.
Let me read it. So there's an episode, I forget which episode it is. It might be, I don't know, it might be four or five, yeah. One of them or whatever. But there's a scene, I'm not sure, what's his name? You know his name?
Nope.
I'm bad when it comes to names and movies, y'all. All I know is Lance.
Yep. Harper.
The nigga who had
it's not Harper. The
nigga who had the dreads in the first movie. The nigga who was with Regina.
Yeah.
Hall's character.
Yeah. That nigga. His name.
They have kids. So there was a scene, y'all, where they was getting ready to get into, like, I forget if it was a taxi or Uber, but regardless of the fact, they were getting ready to get into a vehicle that they were about to rent to get from one place to another. And then when he opened the back seat, it was like him and another white woman opened the back seat at the same damn time. When honestly, the driver of the car literally stopped for them, like the black people, like the protagonists of the fucking story. But of course, the white woman, aka Karen, because that's what they want us to fucking say. That's why they keep bringing these motherfucking white bitches in these shits. They put her in the shit or whatever. Her dog is in the goddamn car. Now she up here crying, talking about don't yell at my dog and don't sit on my dog and don't yell at me. Just crying, you know, the typical characteristics, stereotypes of a Karen. And I just immediately became drained. Because it was just like, why do y'all keep continuously doing this shit?
It was just an unnecessary moment.
Completely. Like, they were literally walking out of the crib, getting ready to get into a why couldn't they just do that? Why couldn't they just, or they didn't even have to show them. They could just, all right, babe, we'll see you later. Walk out the door, boom. They already going to the next spot. Or, the next scene is they go already at the next spot.
Yeah.
Why do we have to see this cold Karen situation? Now, of course, he's traumatized from it. Now he got to go and break it down to the wife. They got to talk and make sure the kids is okay. Now, of course, he's also traumatized because now he see the white woman again having flashbacks. Or not flashbacks. Having flashbacks and having thoughts of...
how he would reapproach the situation
in five or six different ways, and each way
it was just all unnecessary.
Each way became like he either got locked up or got hit some way, shot something. It's just like, bro, for what? Why? We tired of doing this shit all the fucking time. We tired of y'all talking about COVID. We tired of y'all talking about Karen. We trying to escape. We tired of y'all talking about police beating up niggas. We tired of this shit. We trying to watch this shit called TV and movies and shit to fucking escape. We don't want to see this shit. We see this shit every fucking day on our social media platforms. We see this shit every day on the fucking news. We tired of seeing this shit in fucking movies. We do this shit to escape. We hear it, even hear it in music of niggas getting killed, regardless of whether we jam into it or not. Can we fucking get a break from the shit, please?
Right.
Sorry.
All right. Moving on. It's kind of funny that you said we're tired of COVID plot lines, because the HBO has dropped its latest banger hit TV show, The Last of Us.
Now, granted, this is The Last of Us is based off a video game that's prior to COVID.
Yes. And it's not, I mean, I guess it is a virus. So, yeah, whatever. Guess it is a pandemic. But, of course, like all of these zombie shows, the zombies aren't what you really have to be afraid of, or aren't what the story is really about. So,
just a little backstory, y'all. The original, the first The Last of Us game came out in 2013. Mm-hmm. I played this game at least 2 or 3 times. Mm-hmm. Like blockbusters. There was a time when me and C were first dating. I was at her crib a good bit. Mm-hmm. PlayStation was pretty much over there. And I played this game mm-hmm. all the damn time. Whether she was in the room or not, I just stayed playing this game because it was so good. It was a long-ass game, and I love long, adventurous games because I feel like I'm getting my money's worth. I feel like I'm paying $40, $50, $6 for a game. I need to spend a long time on this game. Mm-hmm. And as a single-player game, it gives you that. You play this game for a long time. But it's really good. I'm not going to give too much about what it is because that'll give the whole show away because it's based off the game. Mm-hmm. So I'll just say I really enjoyed the game, so I know I'm definitely going to enjoy this show. Mm-hmm. And so far, one episode in, I'm hooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting us talking about this show if we're going to be able to talk about it or however often we ended up talking about
it. This is going to be one of them ones. I'm trying to do this weekly because I'm really excited for this show. So,
okay, y'all hear this. Okay. Because I didn't play the game. And also, I kind of wanted to go into this show not knowing a lot about it, but it's hard to because the game did come out so long ago. And because obviously I live with a fan, I do, you know, B will call me in like, oh my God, this is so cool. Come watch this. So I actually have seen a few clips from the game, but I never played the entire game. So I don't have that backstory. So I'm coming into this like completely green for the most part. I did listen to some podcasts. They weren't too specific. They just kind of said the basics of Joel's backstory is that he lost his family. And so he doesn't really believe in emotional attachments, or doesn't try to form true emotional attachments. And of course, it's, you know, from promo, it's about him and this young girl, Ellie. So they start the show off, mind you, again, I'm green. I had no idea he even had a daughter. Actually, no, I knew he had a family. I didn't know it was a daughter specifically, whatever. So they start off, they show this like TED talk kind of about a virus. I was like, oh God, here we go. And they just kind of explain like what could possibly happen. And then literally it happens. And you're experiencing Joel's birthday with his daughter. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. The guy who was explaining it originally, shout out to him. He is the guy from The Mummy. He was, what was her name on this,
Oh, her brother?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was her brother.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't seen him like.
Then he had like white hair.
Yeah, I haven't seen him since The Mummy damn near.
Oh, wow.
So shout out to him.
That's cool. Dang, yeah, I forgot their names, but and so
her name was Evie.
Yeah, I remember his name. So yeah, you start off, it's Joel's birthday, and you basically just see him and his daughter and their relationship and his brother. So it's the three of them. And it's his birthday, and so she takes money, and I'm like, why is she stealing his money? Blah blah blah. I don't really want to rehash the whole plot, but I just want to say that within that first 30 minutes, they really solidified like a cute father daughter bond that I really, it was so believable. The actress Nico Parker, who plays Sarah, like she was so cute. So I was already like, oh, she's so cute. And yeah, it was just, and clearly her daddy, you know, needed help with everything. He was like, I'm gonna just go to work, but as far as just taking care of the house, all that stuff, this is on you. So anyways, come to find out, some shit goes down, and like Sarah is paranoid like the whole day, like, what's this news, what's this. And then everything gets shut down. No, her dad has to go, they watch a movie, her dad has to go pick up his brother from jail. She wakes up, her dad's not there, and then there's all of this like chaos going on outside, and like the child she is, she goes outside. So the whole time you're thinking, oh my god, she about to die, because again, coming into the story, knowing that something bad happens to his family, you know something is going to happen to them, but you don't know what. Anyways, and then the saddest moment, I'm just, you know, bypassing a lot because eventually he comes to get her, blah, 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 blah. Then the saddest moment I've ever seen on the pilot of a TV show happens outside of Bran being pushed out the window. But Bran being pushed out the window was like, I was just like in shock. I wasn't sad, but I was like, oh my God, like they pushed a kid. I guess maybe I was sad, but even still, I wasn't really like that invested in the character of Bran, even though he's my favorite character. Don't care what y'all gotta say.
But that's the thing. You had no real moment to be sad, because it's like, Jamie said some shit about love or some shit, and he was like, oh, hell with it, and pushed him real quick. And it was like, as soon as he fell to the ground, he was screaming black. And it was like the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So we had no moment. We were just more shocked. We had no moment to really be sad until the next episode, when we realized, oh shit, this nigga can't even walk again.
Yeah. And also, this wasn't like a weekly thing. It was, we were binging at that
right,
point.
Right. Right.
So Sarah being shot by that soldier, and then just the way that whole thing, that was just like some really, really, really great acting. And I was crying. They got my ass, and I was like, well, fuck. Mm-hmm. And then another time jump, 20 years later. So I was like, god damn, 20 years later. Mm-hmm. And then you just see, like, Joel, he's just kind of numb to everything. They live in a shit, you know, they live in the Boston quarantine zone. And then they're on it. So I guess the main thing that I can take away from, like, the current timeline and the action is that Joel is trying to get to his brother, Tommy. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the main thing, or the main kind of plot. And in order to get to his brother, Tommy, he needs a battery, and he needs something else, an engine, something.
I know a
car. Either way, he needs a car to get to wherever his brother is. And in order to do that, he agrees to help transport Ellie to this other place, in order to get a car. So he has his ulterior motives. Ellie probably has her ulterior motives, and his Tess, I believe that's her name, his girlfriend or whoever, she has her ulterior motives, but in this moment, they're all, you know, going to be on this journey together. Ellie is this, you know, rambunctious kind of asshole kid, and she's immune to whatever the virus is. I'm sure I'm going to grow to care about Ellie, but on this first episode, I was like, okay, girl.
She's annoying.
Yes.
she's not really as annoying on the game. But yeah.
I get the feeling, okay, so here's my theory on Ellie, because she, and it could be just this first episode, but because she is like an annoying child, and you know they love, like, every show or every movie, whatever, there's always an annoying kid that does something dumb and gets somebody killed. And I'm just feeling like that's gonna happen. Major deaths have already been spoiled to me, at least one. I don't want to spoil it for y'all, if you don't know. But it has already been spoiled. Maybe not the way and how it happens, but the fact that this person is not going to make it. So I'm like, oh, fuck. But oh, well. I mean, it's the nature of the TV show. And I think, again, from B. Excuse me.
Salute. Salute.
Ooh, I'm dying. Okay. B showing me the end of the game, the final clips of the game. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess they weren't there. So I guess that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But I guess I'm excited. I mean, it's a good, like I said, it was some really good performances. I kind of do have Walking Dead fatigue. Like, I'm just kind of like, the people over the people against the people. Like, here we fucking go again. Do I really care? But at least we have a cure. So at least there's a mission. I feel like Walking Dead lost its mission, and that's when it became boring.
These goddamn monsters, too, these are different.
Yeah, and the zombies are really gross. Yeah. That shit coming out their mouth, I can't. I can't.
Oh, you ain't seen shit. You ain't seen the bigger motherfuckers.
I know.
The big fat motherfuckers. The slimy niggas. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's going to get way worse if they get as deep as the game gets. Because it gets deep. Deep as empty pockets.
Yeah, you're not close enough to the mic. Should have brought your chair. But yeah, so I mean, that's kind of how I feel. I'm definitely into it. I'm excited to have something to watch. But yeah, I'm just trying to see where I can get invested. I'm not invested in any of the characters right now.
Okay. Okay.
Ellie get on my nerves. Joel, I don't know. Joel is cool. And that's it. I mean, I don't know. Hopefully, oh, that's another thing too. What I hope about this show is that, like, something that I liked about Emily in Paris is that the show is not really, it is about Emily, but the other side characters have actual storylines that we actually care about, and they're pretty good. So I hope in this show, the side characters have actual storylines that we actually care about, in case Joel and Ellie's story is not going to carry, but I feel like it is.
It'll definitely carry. They're going to base it off the game.
Okay, right.
It's going to carry.
Okay. I believe you. All right. I don't have an ad prepared, so I don't want to say
buy anything. Some Rooney shit. That's what you need to do. If you haven't right now, oh, follow.
We're having a New Year, New You sale. $15 activewear, yep. So definitely.
All they fitness gear, listen, new year, new you. You trying to get your shit right. You trying to get shit snatched back. You know what I mean? Go ahead and get your fitness gear right. They got a $15 off on air. All the activewear.
No, it's $15.
I mean, I'm sorry, not $15 off. I'm so sorry. I'm so used to saying dollars off. It's $15 for all the activewear. So make sure you cop it. Follow on all social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, shit. Like on Facebook, all of that. We gon', you know what I'm saying? We'll like y'all stuff too.
Thanks. All right. So.
And tell somebody. Shit. Share it.
All right. Yeah, that's put definitely your, the most
your,
helpful.
Put it on your story. It don't take nothing just to put it on your story. It don't take but 5 seconds.
All right. So.
And tag.
Let's
talk. Y'all tag about everybody else. Tag somebody real quick.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Let's talk about, what is it? Tea for the week. Look, we didn't even go so long, I forgot what the segment was called. So our tea for the week is the menu. Mm-hmm. Since I talked about the
last one. Oh, no. Oh, no, ma'am. This is too dark, too long, too deep for me to see it
into. It's not even too long and too deep. It was to say, just give a brief synopsis.
It's basically about this chef who is fire as hell. He's an old guy. He's an old chef who basically has this like really premier exclusive experience at this restaurant / his quarters, I guess you would say, on this like private island that you have to take like an exclusive little boat to get to.
It's just like a very premier luxury exclusive dining experience.
Yes.
With this like you know, Michelin star,
Emeril Lagasse type chef, but
yeah, Wolfgang, what's that man?
Wolfgang, yeah, Wolfgang Puck.
Yeah, him and the guy from Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, the nigga who be yelling at everybody.
Yeah,
Ramsay, Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's some shit like that.
He's very much. This is very much what that is. So he's very like, you know, minimal, like a few people or whatever. You learn later on that you have to have, it has to be two people per table, I guess you would say, or per, you can't come by yourself. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. You have to have somebody accompany with you. And a little bit through, after a couple of courses go by, you learn, and he actually shares with them that they won't be leaving. They're actually going to die there. This is their last.
And they stayed.
And yeah, these are their last meals. Continue on.
Okay, so
I feel like I did pretty good. That's fine.
No, yeah, you
look
did.
At me, y'all. I'm trying. So,
the crazy part about this movie is that once they find out that they're gonna die, they all still go along with the entire experience.
Ain't nobody fighting. Ain't nobody trying to like fuck shit up. I think one person, one white dude, he tried to like use a chair to break through the glass, but he realized that.
It was like reinforced glass.
Right. But he didn't try nothing else. Like, they, nobody, like, it was like hella niggas. Nobody tried to team up with nobody. Nobody tried to go in the kitchen, grab no knife. Nobody tried to, like, do shit. They just all sat there and continued with their damn experience and ate their damn meals that they couldn't. And he said, y'all, to taste the food. Don't eat, to taste. You can't even, you gon', well, you weren't gonna leave no way, but you weren't gonna get full. It all the meal was made specifically for you not to get full whatsoever. So you paying all this money. I was saying it was gonna be $500. She was like, oh no, it's much more than that. And
it
yeah,
it was 12. They said the amount. Did they say the amount when they had to pay? It was $1,250 a person
to die.
Yeah.
Here's my question before you get it. Well, no, I'm sorry. Keep going and I'll come back to it.
So. Yeah, essentially, this movie is just about the rich, a rich people going on an experience, and this chef being like, you know, I was a, you know, I'm a service person. Like I grew, he was basically kind of punishing the rich people for indulging in a super classist, super, you know, privileged experience that they really didn't give a fuck about, mm-hmm. to be honest. And he was exposing them for that. So yeah, this was like a dark satirical comedy.
It definitely had its funny moments.
Yes, this movie was hella funny.
Yeah.
It was more funny than anything to me. It wasn't a horror movie at all. There's some, you know, some deaths.
Thriller to me.
Because they're, right, because, you know, they're getting killed or some people die. There's some blood. But for the most part, it's just really fucking funny.
I don't even know how to classify this.
It's a dark comedy.
Dark comedy?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I actually really liked this movie. I thought that I had saw maybe some mixed review. Oh, yeah, most of our friend circle said that they didn't like it.
They didn't like it, yeah.
And it could, I we didn't really ask. I didn't really ask them why they didn't like it. They mostly said, like, it was predictable. So I was wondering if maybe they thought that they were going to get something that was more horror.
So to add on to what you were saying, so the chef's name was, last name was Slowick. So it says, Chef Slowick explains each guest was invited because they either contributed to him losing his passion for his craft or because they make a living off of exploiting the work of artisans and workers like him and his team.
Yes.
I just read that before we started this podcast, so I had to go back to it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Who wrote that?
It was on the plot for Wikipedia. Okay. So somebody, some random
shout
person.
Shout out to Wikipedia.
Yep. Shout out to that random person who contributed to Wikipedia.
Thank
you. Yeah. Thank you, Wikipedia, for the platform. Make sure y'all, if y'all donate got extra coins, make sure y'all donate to Wikipedia. I'm not doing it because I ain't got them extra coins, but somebody got to do it. And if it's y'all, just get them a couple of coins after y'all buy some Rooney.
Yes. So... Yeah, I actually enjoyed the movie. I didn't think that it was going to be scary, and I really didn't have any expectations, probably because our friends said that they didn't like it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't think it's a movie that I would go back to. I would also say that there, I guess there is a twist. I was going to say there's not really a twist, but the twist is kind of like Anya Taylor-Joy's character was not aware that Or no, I would say the twist is that she got away. Honestly, I really didn't think nobody was going to get away. Mm-hmm. And the way that she got away was very stupid. So that's my main critique of the movie is I hated the ending. Not going to say I hated the ending, but I didn't like
it. I didn't like it neither, but it made sense. It didn't make sense, but it made sense. It made sense, but it didn't make sense.
Okay, explain.
Why it made sense or why it didn't make sense?
Why didn't? Both.
Okay, but which order?
Why did it make sense?
Why did it?
Yes.
It made sense because, okay, so y'all, so there's a part, so the whole time he kept telling her that she doesn't belong here. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we know that, or we come to realize that, is because the main,
main character, but he says multiple times, I have carefully selected each individual here.
Yeah.
So he knew off top, I didn't select you to be here.
Right. And so we find out later on also that the guy who, I guess, who was kind of the main character or somewhat of the mm-hmm. main... he was somewhat of the main character, I guess you would say. He was, like, just this...
A stan.
A super stan nerd, like just super nerd foodie, just a stan foodie. So he had been hearing about this guy for a while, wanted to do the experience or whatever, and was just gassing a nigga, just jerking him off at every chance, opportunity he got. Just for whatever reason.
Yes, chef.
Right.
Yes, chef.
Right. Just a kiss
obsessed.
Ass. So he ends up... wait, go back. Where was I at? Help me.
Okay, so anyway...
No, help me. I want to tell it.
I don't know which part you're talking about. Is he talking to the girl? That's what I'm like. I don't really like rehashing plot because it's like... You don't remember it in order. You just remember a specific moment.
Okay, so there's a part where they tell him that what the chef when he starts reading the dude, that's when we find out that of course that he was supposed to bring his ex-girlfriend along.
Yes.
So we find out that the girl he's with wasn't even supposed to be there as well. That's more confirmation that she wasn't supposed to be there. And we find out that he knew
she's a sex worker.
Yeah, she's an escort. And he paid her
to come to this
event, and I guess I'm sure paid her way as well to be there. And he knew all along that she was that they were all going to die. Right. So my question, real quick, is: did everybody know or just him? Because everybody else seemed so shocked.
He made it seem like he just told him. That's what he said. You were sworn to secrecy, and that older couple, that guy, she had Anya Taylor-Joy's character, Margie. Had Margot, mm-hmm. it's Margot, had relations, or that guy was her client, that old man was her client.
Okay.
With the wife. And they had been to that restaurant multiple times. So it was literally just at that point in time, that meal was when he decided he wanted to end it all.
Okay.
So, not at that specific group of people.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay, so realizing all that stuff or whatever, I realize, of course, definitely, she's not supposed to be there. And he knows that too, obviously. But, of course, so there's a part where, and spoiler alert, he kind of, like, sees that and kind of gives her an option to either stay where she at with them or join her staff, regardless, she's going to die. So she kind of goes along with it or whatever, and she goes and do the task that he's asking for. And while she's doing that, she goes off into his quarters or whatever where he actually lives and his bed is at and all that or whatever after she bodies his number one servant, I guess you would say, his number one help or assistant or whatever you say. She offed her, and then she goes inside and see all these, like, clippings or whatever on the wall, all this stuff. But when he was younger, all these awards and shit he won, different stuff from in the newspaper. And she sees something here he won from when he was, like, a burger. Some type of what he won from when he was working at this, like, little burger shop or whatever. A diner. And he was, like, really enjoying making burgers. So in the last moment, and like you said, it didn't really make sense. But in the last moment...
I had to look it up.
Yeah, in the last moments,
she requests a hamburger.
She requested a cheeseburger. And she pretty much just said, yo, this whole shit been trash. All this shit, this whole night, nothing been made with love. All this shit been bullshit. I want a classic motherfucking hamburger. And so he personally made the hamburger. Everything else, all the other chefs have been making. He had like a gang of fucking 30 fucking chefs. This particular burger he made. And you can see even when he was making a burger, he was smiling and shit. And you can just kind of just see he was actually like he got taken back to when he was like in that moment. Mm-hmm. So he made the burger, made the fries and all that shit. And even they dialogue making that shit, that was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. So made the burger, she bit it, took one bite and she was like, actually, I'm sorry, but you know what I'm saying? I seem a little full right now. Can I have it to go? And I think still like, even though he let her go, I think that was still like a, it ain't nothing she gonna tell about. It ain't like she gonna come back and, you know, call the police because they all finna be dead anyway. Uh-huh. I think in that moment, he appreciated her for letting him feel that appreciation for cooking and uh-huh. the art of actually loving what he does uh-huh. versus everybody else in that room who had done something opposite. Uh-huh. So I think in that moment, he actually just kind of snapped out of it. Like, you know what? I'm gonna let her go. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So that's kind of why I feel where it made sense. It didn't make sense just because I don't know, bro. You all of a sudden just kind of just nice all of a sudden just say fuck it, like mm-hmm. just and it just didn't make sense in that way. Like it was just that easy all of a sudden. And I'm sure everybody else looking at her like, how the fuck she able to just get out like that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Well, too, and then I was like, well, damn, if everybody asks for their food to go, he gonna let them go?
Right. Like, yeah. I want mine to go.
Right.
give me my dessert to go. Yeah. I want a burger and I want mine to go, please.
Exactly. I would have did the same shit, but these people were so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, them niggas, he literally, first of all, he said, we gotta bring the bill around. Excuse me. This is my last meal. You think I'm finna pay for this shit?
Right.
But these people is just so fucking just silly mm-hmm. that they paid to die. Just sat there.
And my thing.
And the boat, when you realize the boat was literally right there.
And my thing is, where the money gonna go when they all finna die?
To their family members. They y'all still wired out. Yeah, you still, no, I'm saying, oh, you mean to him, to the restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were talking about, no, them people gonna be charged. And you know them posthumous expenses. But and the fact that the boat was literally right there the whole time. So I'm like, y'all niggas literally could have got up and left.
And this is my other thing why it didn't make sense.
I didn't get the chase scene.
Chase.
Remember he chased the males?
That was just part of the thing. Yeah. I thought people was going to die.
Right.
But nobody died. It was just part of the experience.
Yeah.
Whoever got caught, I guess, had to eat certain things or what. I don't know. It was weird. Because it happened so fast.
Yeah.
Too. It was just really weird. Like, I said, wait, they back already? They were dirty and shit.
Yeah. That scene confused me.
The scene. So here's why it also didn't make sense for me why he let her go. Because that was just on the heels of her trying to, like, make that call.
Yeah.
And them trying to sneak up out of there or whatever. And that whole time set all of them up or whatever. And he was a cook the whole time acting like he was a security guard.
Yeah.
Or a Coast Guard or whatever.
Yeah.
So my thing was just on the heels of that, they just tried to set you up. You know she made that fuck, you know, make that call or whatever to try to fuck with y'all. And you still let her go after that shit? So, I don't know.
I would say too, just if I'm playing. Tweets. If I'm playing White Devil's Advocate.
Not White Devil's Advocate. You're ignorant.
Who says that? I think Charla. If I'm playing that, I would say too, he kind of had a soft spot for her the whole time.
Yes.
And he was kind of like trying to get her to go the whole time. Like, oh, go get that barrel out my thing. Like, she could have left then. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want to look at it that way, he was kind of always trying, he kept saying, you don't belong here, you're not supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. And not in a, like, at first, you know, she kind of takes it as, and as a viewer, you kind of take it as like a snobby way, mm-hmm. like, you know, she's not good enough. Mm-hmm. But then you realize, oh no, he's trying to save her life.
Mm-hmm. But still, it's just like, but shit, let me go.
She could have, that was the whole thing, like, she could have. Yeah. And it didn't click for her until the end.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, that was I don't know.
Our friend, so the Honor Rebel on Twitter, after I said, damn, and wifey wanted to watch it, what's wrong with it? He responded and says, it's boring. Like, you have a huge buildup and the marketing is deceptive. The movie does not have cannibalism in it. So whatever you
think. Oh, okay. It could, yeah. So expectations.
So whatever you think it could be about, they go about it in a very boring and roundabout way.
I did think there was going to be some cannibalism, but honestly, once I started. What
did they show in it that made it seem like it
was gonna be cannibalism? I mean, I guess just like the way that the trailer was set up. I guess you have to watch
because
the trailer.
Oh, because yeah, if it's the menu. Yeah. Yeah. You would think somebody's going to be eating. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but again, once I started watching the movie and started cackling, I forgot all about this shit.
Yeah, no, it was actually good.
Okay, so yeah. So, yeah, just expectations. Depends on what you expected. I guess, again, I expected it to be darker.
I like stuff, like, even as small as, like, them explaining, like, the meals and stuff.
Yeah, just the way it was kind of shot and put together. Oh.
Yeah.
Let's conclude this conversation with what I had to watch a recap because I didn't, or an explanation or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this basically movie was a metaphor for the movie industry, which is kind of funny to me.
It was always a metaphor for the movie industry.
Yes. And it's funny to me when like productions, movies, big budget films make movies about
what they're already in.
Yeah, like, you're trying to make commentary about, it's kind of like, I had watched the movie You Okay? And it's like, this movie was about an annoying-ass white woman, and you're making a movie, it was basically like white people tears. It was like, oh, she's an annoying white woman, feel bad for her because she's an annoying white woman because she's an annoying white woman. Like, that was and it's like, y'all want me to...
Why would I
want
to do that?
Yeah, why would I cry over her being annoying, like, what? Okay, who is this movie for? Mm-hmm. So anyways, same thing. This movie is an allegory or metaphor or whatever for like people wanting like these super, super duper complex movies and they want to feel like, you know, they're just having this super thoughtful experience while watching a movie and just like the pressures of creating something super special and different. And they've basically lost the love for just making movies.
Like something so simple.
Yeah. So that's the kind of...
Deep as empty pockets.
The allegory. But again, it's funny to me that... I don't know. And that could be funny about the
critique. I fought with that, though.
It could be funny about the critique because it's like, oh, y'all was expecting cannibalism and all of this shit, and really it's like, this is just a funny movie about rich people being dumb as hell.
I kind of fuck with that though, when you really think about what the burgers type shit, because that's real. Right.
It's like, you just like,
because that's real life, that's real shit. Niggas spend all this bullshit, all this fucking money on that, on what they think is a so exquisite experience or some shit, Nobu, all that bullshit. When all you honestly, like, really, I didn't say need, but honest to God, what really tastes good to you and what your mouth really water for is something as simple as a fucking cheeseburger. Like a good-ass burger, though, not like no McDonald's, like a good-ass burger or something just basic. You ain't gotta have, like, no fucking, I don't know what they be having. What's that? What's the shit? What's the kids be eating on? What's the bullshit? I don't know, regardless, y'all, the expensive bullshit that motherfuckers try to flex with. Y'all ain't got to get all that shit. Because all it's for is for social media. Y'all not eating that shit for y'all. No cap. Y'all eating that shit to flex. So what's the first fucking thing y'all do when y'all get in that bitch and y'all start ordering? I take my pictures for Yelp. Because I'm a Yelper. Okay? I get into exclusive events. And people ask me and give me food and ask me for my thoughts and my opinions. But with y'all be recording y'all shit, posting y'all shit on social media. Yeah. Oh, look at my big ass. Look at my small ass plate. That's a fucking $200. Ain't even nothing, no substance on the motherfucker. No protein, nothing. Y'all just got a fucking drizzle designs of fucking paste. With like a little small little leaf and a little orange on the little side with some little decorative bullshit in the middle. Mm-hmm. It's not substance. It's not, y'all spending, y'all gonna walk away. What'd he say? Y'all gonna walk away. Y'all spend all that money. Y'all gonna walk away. Perfectly, he perfectly designed this fucking meal so you will not get what?
Four.
My God. I just had a revelation. This movie is probably the best movie I've seen now. It all came back home, baby. It came back full circle right on this fucking podcast. Right here. Any moment where I got excited is because it was a revelation.
Yeah.
This is a deep movie. Who was the writer? Who was the director, I mean?
I
need to applaud them.
Look it up.
Because that was... No, I really brought it back home for y'all. I brought it back home.
Yeah. That's another explanation. Do it. The Prophet Offset say? Do anything for the clout?
They do. And do. And did.
Because best believe, when I was in Nobu, I was taking all type of pictures.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I spent X amount of dollars to be in there hungry.
And was so, and what did it taste like, my sister? You are going to... Go ahead, preach it.
What do you mean, what did it taste like?
What did it taste like? Was it worth what you spent?
No.
Could you have gone right down, where were y'all at, in Vegas?
Yeah.
Could you have gone right down to In-N-Out and got you a nice burger and fries?
Went to In-N-Out too.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. It's sushi. You could have went to any nice sushi restaurant had a great time.
I don't know how. I have to take this and get that out somewhere. I literally had a revelation about this movie and how it all wraps up into the real food industry and how they get tied up.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's any luxury kind of like experience. It's just a way for the upper class to spend money. But being in different circles and having different experiences, first of all, you realize, minimum wage is not enough money to live, but also being a millionaire is too much money. It's like you don't need $1 million a year to live a comfortable life, to be able to live in a decent home, take care of your family, buy groceries, go on trips whenever you want, pretty much buy whatever you want. Like, once you probably hit $1 million or so over, like, your basic needs and you don't have to worry about money, pretty much fine. So what the fuck do you do with all that extra money?
And don't get me wrong, like, I do feel like I do feel like giving your money or donating money or giving back or whatever is definitely important. And I'm not saying like people won't appreciate that regardless. But still, it's just like you're going to use that as a tax write-off. So I can't really sit here and say like praising you, even though I can because I know there's a lot of people who ain't doing it. But still, it's not like, you know, you're still doing it for your benefit as well. Right. You're going to turn right around and use it as a tax write-off. So you still finna get a benefit off of this as well.
Right.
It's a win-win for you.
Right.
You get good publicity for you because you donating, you doing a good thing, and you get a tax write-off at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, I wonder if this is something out of kindness of your heart or something that your publisher or something say, hey, you might should have a drive. Or.
I mean, I'm just talking about regular motherfuckers.
I know, I'm just getting a little deep. Again, I've been deep in my thoughts.
Yeah. I'm just talking about regular people. So, again, like, what most of the time... After you do your tax donations, your tax write-offs, you take care of your family, yourself, you go on the vacations that you want to go on, what you going to do with that extra $400,000? Mm-hmm. You going to do dumb shit like this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Again,
buy a burger, man. That's all. That's what my caption finna be on Instagram.
B loves this because B does not... He's not fazed by the food and dining industry experience at all.
I'm a simple man, y'all. I'm just a little country boy from a small little town.
And again, it's for me, it's more so just about experiences.
See, I like experiencing in other countries because one, yes. I like getting what they eat, the culture, the ethnic food, and then realistically, it's going to be cheaper anyway. It's definitely going to be cheaper than what we paying here.
Yeah.
I had oxtails in Panama for like goddamn about $5.
Yeah. It's true.
So it's just like, you know.
That's true.
But anywho, y'all, we gonna go.
Yeah, so you watch the menu and
watch it. I know
if
we
haven't seen it. I mean, pretty much everybody I know has watched it. I actually held off to wait to watch it with B.
I'm gonna text him right now. Y'all
he fell asleep, but he watched it again. So, you know, we made it. We're gonna try to watch Megan. And do you have anything you wanna shout out, promote?
What do I want to shout out? I don't know, y'all. I'm thinking about getting me a I've been eyeing this camera for a grip. I really been thinking about just going ahead and getting this camera. And if I do, the price gonna go up, and I'm really gonna go gung ho on like shooting again, cause I'm gonna have to make that money back from that camera and then extra. So just know if y'all see your boy posting with a new camera, just know that the price is going to go up. And when I say it's going to go up, it's going to go up.
And that doesn't, just know that, you know, if you book BDY photography.
The quality of work, I say all that to say, right, the quality of work, when the price go up, I mean, the quality of work is just going to be better. You know what I mean? Like, the quality of work is just going to improve. It's not going to be what it's been, even though what it is right now is good, but it's going to be even better. So be on the lookout for that.
Just up better quality.
Right. So follow BDY Photography in the meantime. You know, for right now, that's probably going to be it. Sneak geeks, I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm doing my sneaker shit still because I'm still getting my sneaks. But, you know, I don't know if I'm still going to do sneak geeks or not.
Just follow him for if you're into sneakers and you want to see cool sneaker content and outfits.
Okay, because you might see it.
But yeah, so...
What am I getting in? Let me see. So this is what I said I want to do. I want to watch BMF, mm-hmm. and we have not seen even the first season. I just mentioned to somebody on PlayStation. I was talking to one of my friends. Said, bro, you ain't even seen the first season? No, I haven't. So plan to watch BMF, starting from the first season. The second season just started recently or just got posted. So we're going to get to that. I do want to finish Abbott Elementary. I started like the first 3 episodes of this previous season, so I do want to finish that. Uh-huh. Wednesday. I know you started Wednesday. I know a lot of people have talked about Wednesday.
I watched the whole thing. I need to watch it again, but I did watch the whole thing.
So I do want to get into that. I've seen a lot of memes and all the dance videos and all the kids and shit recreating the dances and shit from the ball or whatever. So I do want to watch the show. I want to take it back. And even though I've seen this show, for some reason it's in my heart to kind of rewatch it because I kind of forgot some things. And
you see all this list and you got some on here you've already seen,
but it's been a long time and I kind of forgot. So I do want to rewatch Breaking Bad. I've only seen it one time. I know a lot of people seen it like multiple times. I've only seen it one time, and that was when it aired. So, and the funny part was, real quick, y'all, I was actually in class in film school, getting my film degree, watching this show. And while I had a class, I had a professor who gave us extra credit for doing something I did for free on a daily basis, y'all. And that was live tweeting. I loved her as a professor. So I used to live tweet all the shit. I used to tag her, like, tweet her all the time, whatever. That was extra credit, y'all. So easily to say I got a fucking A in that class. So, yeah. And then lastly, like she said, I do want to watch Megan. So we're going to end up watching that sometime soon. So, yeah.
Yes, for me, as far as TV, I have a bit more time on my hands. But I feel like, I don't know, I just haven't really been invested that much because Titans is on a hiatus. So, and we don't know when they're coming back. A director told us that they were coming back in April, but that's unofficial. Until then, I've started The Boys season 3. I'm about halfway through that. I got 4 more episodes to go on that. I watched Emily in Paris already. I watched Ginny in Georgia already.
Well, aren't you a busybody?
Yep. I'm trying to think of what else. These are shows that you don't watch. Shit. Oh, I started this National Treasure show on Disney Plus. I don't know how I feel about it. It's a little kitty. It's not little kitty, but it's a little kitty. Like, because the people are, like, college students, but it's still a little... It's Disney, so it's kind of... I don't know how I feel about it. But yeah, I'm trying to think if anything else. Oh, Shadow and Bone is coming back. That's something I watch. You don't watch. That's coming back in February, I think. Yeah, I don't know. Some Star Wars stuff is coming out. Oh, I don't know if I want to get into it though.
Real quick, I just want to say, I have been in my Steve Harvey Show bag for like past like month. I've been taking a trip down memory lane. So shout out to said entertainer Steve Harvey, Terry Vaughn, Wendy Raquel Robinson for bringing me much joy and laughter.
This is why he can't watch no news shows. He too busy watching Martin. But here's Steve the thing, Harvey, y'all.
Here's
Jamie
the thing.
Fox.
Here's the thing. No. Listen. Here's the thing. When I'm doing something, when I'm working or I'm busy or I'm doing something, I can watch something or put something on that I've already seen before and have it going and not be phased. But if I can't watch something brand new and I can't multitask in that way. I can't work on something and watch something brand new because I won't have no clue of what the fuck is going on TV. I can't do that.
Yeah.
When I'm watching something new, I have to give my full attention to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so old stuff, I can have, like you said, Martin, I can have all that shit running at any given time and not be phased and still be working because I know the shit, basically.
Right.
But it gives me comfort. It's like comfort shit.
Yes.
My dad did the same thing, too.
I understand.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
So make sure y'all follow us on all of our social media platforms. Our Twitter and Instagram is nfandelitypod. That's nfandelitypod. P-O-D.
And I still tweet from there from time to time.
Yeah. I'll reshare some things here and there. I'm about to get back in on my bag a little bit more. But anyway, until next time, y'all. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and say it now. We'll see y'all next week.
Okay.
Fuck that. No cap.
All right.
All right, we'll see y'all next time.